Come on, you should know by now. It's outrageous claims.
You would make outrageous claims.
Outrageous!
You were literally too stupid to insult.
Come on, son!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. What I want, you've got,
it might be hard. Just keeps getting better and better. All right, this week's claim. Really, Jet fans, I really don't mean to just constantly take your team down a peg or two.
It's not true that you do mean to. It's one of the things that you do. It's like your thing.
All right, well, you deserve every peg I'd knock you down. You deserve it. And so here's my outrageous claim for this week, Pierce Bricks.
Yep.
Tim Tebow. Is actually the best offensive weapon currently on the New York Jets. And go.
Honestly, that's not that outrageous. It's so relatively bad. Practical. And but my problem is he
chastising me for hating the Jets.
No, listen, it's not. If you look at that roster, I actually think Joe McKnight is the most explosive weapon on the New York Jets. I would like to see
the backup running back.
He's also
in the ground and pound offense.
He can do some stuff in the kick return game. I don't think the ground and pound offense is going to be that great, but if you establish a ground and pound offense and then you can leak Joe McKnight out, Joe McKnight is pretty good in open space. The guy can be relatively
dynamic in open
space.
And maybe if they gave him a shot at the ground and pound offense besides Sean Green, they might actually have some hope. But, I mean, come on. Let's look at this. I know you said it wasn't overly outrageous, but your comeback to this claim was the backup running back.
Well,
the guy who doesn't see time.
Tim Tebow's the backup quarterback. He doesn't see time either.
This is my point.
I'm talking about the best weapon on the team, and obviously Sean Green's going to be a bigger tool, but no pun intended. he's going to be used more often. But
Jet fans are marching in the studio right now.
But to be quite honest, you know, if you look at it, Santonio Holmes didn't have a 100-yard receiving game all season last year.
Santonio Holmes could be great. The problem is the philosophy, the team philosophy in Tony Sperano's offense doesn't lend itself to Santonio Holmes being great, nor does his quarterback and offensive line situation.
No, so I think that...
So Santonio Holmes is out of it.
What I think you're going to end up needing to do is short passes and leak outs to Joe McKnight. If you can get Joe McKnight in open space,
how many times is he going to be on the field?
Reggie Bush-ish. And if you look at Reggie Bush, he's not on the field all the time. He's on the field too much for the Dolphins because they don't have another option. But the best way to utilize a Reggie Bush, who can be, I know everybody likes to bash on Reggie, he can be a dynamic player.
Reggie Bush finally showed that he could run between the tackles. He just picked the Giants to do it against.
Listen,
you remember
that? Yes, Reggie Bush had over 1,000 yards last year, and I think he missed a game or two.
Right.
The guy has learned to run straight. It took him a lot of years to realize I can't.
A long time to figure it out, but he's got it now.
Exactly. This isn't Fresno State. it's the freaking Ravens,
you can't
man.
Front flip into the end zone anymore, Reggie.
Exactly. And listen, there was actually a couple of years going back on Reggie Bush for a second. When he was on the Saints before he broke his leg, I believe, 4 games into the season, I had him on fantasy. He was literally the offensive MVP.
I got him on fantasy this year, but yeah. You're right, and he looked great, and then broke his leg, and hadn't been the same until he got to Miami.
But listen, aside from that, if you look at how you use a guy like that, or how you use a Darren Sproles, and Darren Sproles is on a team with many weapons, including the most dynamic tight end I think I've ever seen in Jimmy Graham. The guy's 6 foot and a million. But you know, if you use a Joe McKnight in that sort of a way, and you
maybe
can just organize and get him in open, he can be a huge.
But
weapon.
I mean, the offensive line is bad for the Jets. So how much can they rely? I mean, I guess the swing pass might be it.
That's what I'm saying.
Let me back up for 1 second and just say this. When I say that Tim Tebow is the best offensive weapon the Jets have, I don't mean throwing the ball, because good God no. I mean, legitimately, Tim Tebow as a wildcat quarterback, not as a replacement to Sanchez in a step back and throw it offense, as a wildcat specifically, maybe a hybrid with McKnight and Tebow in the backfield, is the best option the Jets have. Legitimately, I think the wildcat is the only thing that's going to have some success for them. No, it's not. It's not. By the way, never mind. Scratch that last 30 seconds. But it's the only thing that could work. This offense is going to be bad.
They're going to be bad. They're obviously going to have some success. I don't... Mark... we've overblown this controversy that now we're talking about Mark Sanchez like he's the worst. It's Mark Sanchez and then the bottom of the league. Mark Sanchez, Tavares, Jackson.
No, and you're right. Sanchez is better than he gets credit for, and anyone who's saying there's a quarterback controversy right now is insane. And there should never be a quarterback controversy between Sanchez and Tebow. My point has always been that
when
the Jets suck, the vocal minority that wants Tebow is going to become very vocal.
And what's terrible about the Tebow situation is you talk about, well, there's no quarterback controversy. Why don't you make him into a running back if he's such a good weapon? He's a successful running back because you're worried that he might throw the ball.
Right.
And so if you take that element away, you never watch a Tim Tebow run and say, wow, that guy's got burst. That guy has separation speed. He has no separation speed. He's Mike Allstott with the ability to pass the ball
decently.
Yeah.
Right.
So when you're talking about a guy who is a great weapon, can throw, but you can't just insert him as a running back. You can insert him as a fullback and give him some touches. And then you're kind of creating a bit of that diversion because you don't know if he's going to block or if he's going to get the ball
or maybe get it flank
him
pass.
Out at tight end.
Yeah.
He can do a lot of stuff. He's a solid football player,
as they say.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, but it really does apply to him. He's a football player.
Exactly. You know, and I look at him as a very poor man's in a different style as Cordell Stewart. They should have never made Cordell Stewart a full-time quarterback because he was dominant when there was a threat that he could do either one of them. He was a great weapon. Again, you're not getting him on the field. You're not getting him infinite amount of touches, but that's what he was best at. That's what he was best served as.
This claim isn't so much a rousing endorsement of Tebow as it is an indictment of the fact that the offensive line can't protect the passer. Passer isn't great, doesn't have great weapons. Running game's not good because they're relying on Sean Green and Joe McKnight, who could be great, but he's behind Sean Green.
Right, and
offense is not going to be great. A change of pace attack with Tebow in a Wildcat, I don't think is going to find a lot of success, but I think it's the best shot the Jets have right now.
He certainly is a weapon in a team that doesn't really have many, if any.
There you go. I mean, that is the New York, and I'm sorry, Jet fans, that if you've listened to like any platform of 104.5 in the past 3 weeks, you've probably heard me say some not nice things about the Jets, but quite frankly, I think your team deserves it right now. Woody Johnson came out today and said that you can never get enough Tebow, as though we needed, you know, as though people were surprised that Woody Johnson would say that.
Woody Johnson, A, the funniest name in sports. B.
No, you're just all sorts of those kind of metaphors today. Who's playing? Who's opening the college football season tonight?
The Cox, the Gamecocks, baby. No, listen. Woody Johnson needs to keep his mouth shut. Rex Ryan has taken the memo to keep his mouth. They may prove us wrong, but I just think in honest practicality, looking at that team, I think they have an above average defense and a very below average offense, and that does not lend itself to a successful season
in this NFL, particularly.
And they're off.
As the field tears,
they're coming down to the line.
Too close to call.
Just a quick little note. This weekend is the final weekend at the Saratoga Racecourse. A sad weekend for me. Couple of big stakes race this weekend, namely the Four Go, headlined by Shackelford, the best name in horse racing, former Preakness winner. 7 furlong Grade 1 sprint that Saturday. Saturday also featuring the Woodward, 1 1/8 mile for older horses. Both fields look great. Should be a great weekend of racing. You can catch all handicapping advice, best bets as their previews of the weekend on 1045theteam.com. Look for me, or you can find it on Twitter at Joe_1045. Pierce Bricks, and man, you can also follow on Twitter at GameOnBrixie. Come back, see us next week. Tuesday, I think, we're going to have a special all NFL preview. We'll do a segment on the Jets, segment on the Giants, some NFL predictions. We're getting you ready for the NFL kickoff on Wednesday. Pierce Bricks, anything to add?
Just follow me on that Twitter. I'll be tweeting.
All right. It's Two Guys, One Mic, and because it's what the Mets have. We'll leave you with Harvey Danger. Two Guys, One Mic. Catch you next week.